quite a lot of you. Okay. Who's back at work? Right, quite a lot of you. You're not back at work, Ruth. I would have thought you'd been back at work by now. I'm sure. Every time's a holiday, I know. Okay. But as we go into this new year, we most certainly know that we need God's presence with us, don't we? And that that's guaranteed, that he is with us. And those different parts of the world, God is at work there as well, that Pauline was leading us to think about. Okay, so we're going to see if this works. Forward. We're going to learn a verse together. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 10. So say after me, Luke 2, verse 10. First one is, fear not. For behold, I am announcing good news of great joy for all people. Let's say that again. Luke 2, verse 10. And say together, fear not, for behold, I am announcing good news of great joy for all people. Let's say it once more together. Luke 2, verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I am announcing good news of great joy for all people. Okay, and one of the words in that verse means gospel. I am announcing good news. So the word gospel means good news. And our theme for the year is simply gospel. And that verse alone has so much in it that we're going to consider as we go through today. The fact that there was no need to fear, and so many people in the world are afraid of so many things, or even have an understanding of God, which means that they are afraid. They need not fear because a Saviour was coming. God was not judging, but a Saviour was coming. And we live in a day when people can be saved. I watched a short programme on yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. I didn't watch all of it, couldn't be bothered to, but it said, is our weather getting worse? Did anybody see it? And the programme after it, the film that they were showing, was The Day After Tomorrow. So I thought that was a bit of a touch of whatever, irony. But it showed tornadoes in the UK and how, without a doubt, that tornadoes are increasing both in number and strength, something that obviously in the plains of America they're very used to. But some people described how when they saw the tornado, you know, picking up cars and trees, they'd never seen that, they really thought, and it was a Muslim guy that was speaking, that Judgment Day had come. And Judgment Day will come, but we happen to live in a day of grace, in a day of salvation, where God has extended the time and Jesus is there calling people so that people will be saved. Fear not, therefore. For behold, and that doesn't come in the Good News translation, but it's very important, it's there in the Greek, which basically says, stop, look, and listen. There is a whole unseen world, the angel is saying, not just a material world that we are so obsessed with, but that there is an unseen world, and you need to stop. And to these very earthy shepherds, he was saying this, behold, stop, look, and listen. And then the angel says, I am announcing, I'm good newsing, I'm evangelizing, I'm announcing something. And it is good news. It's not bad news. The content is good. This day in David's town, a Saviour is born for you, and he is Christ the Lord. And it is of great joy. And joy needs to mark us out as the people of God, even in times of great difficulty and world conflict and recession. Joy marks us out, for God is worthy of praise. And that this message is for all people. That was so exciting. Everyone can experience joy, not just the privileged. And as our sketch so powerfully showed us, life is full of privileges. The earth, which God actually owns, is owned by very, very few people. The wealth of nations within nations is actually owned by very, very few people still in the world in which we live. But this is good news for all people. Simply gospel. Our message is, of course, the same message, although we have to unpack it, we have to talk about it, we have to share it. But it is the same, and we are told by Jesus to announce it. And so this year is all about simply gospel. The message of a saviour and the call to conversion. The message is not because you're born in Britain, you are safe. The message is not because you're a respectable person who's quite kind and considerate, you're safe. The message is of the need of a saviour and the call to be converted, to begin a new life, to begin a life of change. Our beliefs are to do with very personal things, but they're not just of a personal kind when we talk about the gospel. The beliefs of the gospel, the content, has significance for everyone else on the planet. And I find it almost impossible to shake some people out of the individualism that our culture has produced. People who think purely in context of how they feel, how they are doing in their job, how their home looks, and so on. I find it very difficult to shake people out of that and to keep making myself think not just in context of a very, very small world. This gospel has significance for all people on the planet and the planet's future. This is not a small gospel, although it is simple. And I think it was significant that I felt led to bring that short phrase in the saying of many words, much foolishness is spoken. And we have more words recorded and placed throughout the earth than we have ever, ever had. But how many of those are the truth and will lead us into truth? The shepherds were shocked. They had almost a multiple shock, it seems to me. First of all, that there was an unseen spiritual world. Yes, they would have been told about angels and things like this, but the shock of actually seeing the angels must have been pretty serious. Secondly, they must have had the shock that God was doing something in their neck of the woods. I mean, who would really bother around Bethlehem in those rugged, rough hills? But also, they must have had a shock that what God was doing was not just for the wealthy and the important, but for all people, and that included them. The shock that God was calling them personally to come and see the Lord Jesus. And I spelt out before how ostracized, how on the margins shepherds were. It must have been a shock to them. One that ended in great joy, but nevertheless a shock. And I think we need to be aware that some people in the world are going to be surprised when they hear for the first time, spoken simply, what the gospel is. I don't mean a caricature of the gospel, because we've had plenty caricatures, but there will actually be a shock that God is concerned not just for the future of planet Earth, but about people individually. The good news, of course, is the birth of a saviour. There is content to the message. And it isn't just that we try hard, but the content is incredibly important. This day in David's town, your saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And we, at the end of this year, I'm going to suggest, need to understand the content of the gospel better than we currently do. As Pete said, they had an epiphany, a revelation, the shepherds, as did the magi, the wise men. We don't know that there were three, by the way. We always fall into the trap of that. Much better to have almost like the king, the astronomer, and the camel herder. We don't know how many there were. We know there were three gifts, but we have no idea how many magi there were. Maybe two, maybe 10, who knows? they had a revelation. And every person to become a true follower of Jesus needs to experience revelation. Even if you were brought up within a Christian church, as many of you have been, or within Christian families, we still need a revelation from God that changes our understanding about the nature of who Jesus is. And that belief in the need for revelation is foundational to any understanding of the gospel. That you and I, much as we would do to try and persuade people, and we want to do everything, cannot ultimately reveal or convince anyone of who Jesus is and why he came. We are utterly reliant upon the work of the Holy Spirit. That is one of the reasons why we pray. Because to bring about that change, that insight, that revelation in people's minds and hearts, a work of God's Holy Spirit is needed. For our children, as Pete says, they will have their questions. Our teenagers, our adults, people in their 80s, revelation is needed. Reasoning will take us only so far, and it will take us perhaps a long way if we're a sort of reasoning, reflective type person. And not that many people are, actually. Most of us have much more creative spectrum skills. The Christian gospel, or message that we announce, is that the revelation of what God is like has been given in Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God. That's incredibly important. That makes us unique and distinctively different. God has revealed himself in many ways to many people. The scripture is clear about that, in all sorts of ways. But the Christian gospel has the belief that God has revealed himself in Jesus, the Christ of God. Jesus, we know, is the launch pad, the historical launch pad for Christianity. And those who follow him believe that he has added something new to our understanding of God. Not everyone believes that. Some people believe that Jesus just came and in the line of those who were involved with nature religions, he reiterated what had already been said. But many people believe, millions and millions and millions of people, that in fact he introduced a new understanding of how, not just that God exists, loads of people believe in God, but that God can be known personally. You are going to meet many, many people that tell you they believe in God. Okay? Probably the majority of people will tell you in the UK that they believe in God. That does not mean that they actually know God or even understand that God can be known personally. We must stop making the mistake as Christian people the minute somebody says they believe in God in assuming that they are born again or that they are a Christian. That doesn't mean that at all. As the Bible has said, even the demons believe in God and tremble. To believe that God exists does not mean that we have faith or personal relationship with God. It is a beginning, but it is not enough. It is not enough. From our text, we can see some important things that Jesus does. Jesus actually reveals God. Hi there, do you want to go down to your groups and join in with your groups, or do you want to stay here? If you want to join your groups, do. Okay? Jesus reveals God. Now, we're often making the point that Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. But when we also say that Jesus reveals God, we're saying something very important, and this may be a challenge to some of you, that God is Christ-like. It's not just that when you look at Jesus, you know what God is like, but when you look at Jesus, you can actually believe that God is Christ-like. And that's quite important to understand that. It's not just that Jesus is divine. It's not even that we just say, you know, Jesus is God. But we need to push that further. Jesus is not just showing us what God is like, but God is actually like Christ in nature and goodness and truth. Jesus brings salvation. That doesn't stop others saying there are other saviours. So when you say Jesus is my saviour, they might say, fine. So we'll be thinking about that. But Jesus also defines the shape of redeemed life. Jesus shows us what it is to live in relationship with God. Now that's incredibly important, because when we think about the gospel, we're not just thinking about content, but we're thinking about how we live. Loads of Christians can tell you the content of the gospel, but it doesn't necessarily affect the way that they live. So are they a gospel people? Jesus embodies what it means to be in relationship with God. If you like big words, it's Christomorphic. Jesus embodies what it means to be in relationship with God. And the angels came to the shepherds evangelizing, that is, announcing the good news, the gospel. In just those few words, they're making amazing statements about Jesus. So in some ways, gospel statements are simple, aren't they? A saviour is born to you. But gospel truths are also much deeper. They can be unpacked and looked at. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean there's no other saviour in the whole world? What has he rescued us from if he's a saviour? So often the gospel can be expressed very simply, and we shouldn't worry about too many complex words, but at the same time, we really need to unpack and understand what the statements are. The New Testament gives a strong call to be like Jesus. And it says you need to be born again to do that, but then the rest of your life, you are called to become like Jesus, to conform. And that is what the Holy Spirit will want to do in your life. The Holy Spirit is predestined in you to make you like Jesus. Now, you and I can wrestle for the whole of our lives, having been born again with God, or we can start to learn day by day to be a gospel people, to live in the light of the good news, not just tick the boxes, not just say we've been baptized, not just say we've been confirmed, not just say we're members of a church, not just say we go to church, but to be a gospel people. Not just on our own, but in the companionship of other believers. To be a gospel people, not just because of the content of what we believe, but by the way we live our lives. And this year is going to be all about that. This is our theme. Why did I pick the theme simply gospel? Well, the easy answer is that's in prayer what God told me to do. But why would God be prompting me to think about that and to think, well, can this be useful for a lot of people to think about and to work through for 52 weeks of the year to be thinking about? Why? What are my hopes? What do I think God wants to do with us as a congregation and as a church through these main teaching times? Now, we have other times in prayer groups and groups where we discuss and pray and things like that. But why do I think it's so important to bring this theme? In a world of increasing complexity, and I think you will agree it is a world of increasing complexity, then it's interesting to think about something described as simple. The world is more complex in terms of knowledge. It's more complex in patterns of behaviour and lifestyles. And in this world of increasing complexity, I think some of us, not just Christians, but certainly Christians, have left behind the ingredients and the essentials that we need to build lives of simplicity and strength. It's become so incredibly complex. And we need to know what the basic ingredients are and to have simplicity and strength in our lives. Not that we're stupid people, but we are people that have simplicity and strength. I want, therefore, to have the simple ingredients through this year, each of us, to be able to make a Christian meal that we can enjoy. So I mean we enjoy being Christians. We're able to worship because we can declare to God in song and prayer and poetry and all the other amazing truths, to have those ingredients at our hands, to understand what hope means, to understand what joy means, to know what suffering means, to know what holiness means. To have the ingredients so that we can enjoy the Christian meal, because we don't live on just bread alone, do we? To enjoy the Christian meal, and also to be able to serve it to others. If others ask what the gospel is or what we believe, that we would be able to quite simply put it in front of somebody. And I don't mean pulling a tract out and saying, here, read that. You might give somebody something to take away and read. I mean just talking to them and telling people what it means and has meant to us. It stood the test of time. Pete's not a youngster anymore. He doesn't like getting old like me, but you're not as old as me yet, are you, Pete? It stands the test of time. It's a gospel not just that you can live your own life by, but that you can live your own, raising your own children by, and doing your job by, if you work in a stressful job in a hospital, as Pete does. So that's one of the things I want to try and achieve. But in this world of complexity, confusion, I believe, has resulted. I don't know if you sense that. Many people seem to have no route map at all through life's events. There's no route map for birth and how to raise children. There seems to be no route map when it comes to facing death. People have absolutely nothing to say about it. In fact, they can't even say the word died. They have to pass over or whatever. They can't even say the word died. They're so frightened of it. People have no route map of birth and how to raise children. And I mean the whole of society raising children, not just the parents. Society raises children. No route map about human sexuality and marriage, what it is. No route map to sort out injustices and imbalances in the world. We need a route map. Not in which we say we know everything, because we don't know everything, but a route map by which we have the principles and the values to be able to work through the issues of our day. Christians who should be in partnership with others should be able to pass on guidance and living wisely, but often Christians seem as shaken and confused as the rest. Some people have turned to help to Christian churches, and as others have run into other directions, trying to sort all things out. There's a report just out that's saying people that just aim for spirituality without some sort of framework are ending up with worse mental health problems than others, which is interesting at the moment, that because a lot of structure has gone, people are just not sure. I want us to be able to have a route map to steer us through life's difficulties and joys, and at the end of the day, each day, that leaves us safe in the arms of God while still living in the real world. We're not running away from the real world. We need to have the ingredients of the gospel to enjoy them ourselves and to be able to put them before other people and say, this is what the gospel, the good news is. And we need to be able to have a route map. Not that tells everyone how they're going to get exactly there and there and there. We're not going to become a church which is like a cult, which clones people and tells them literally everything they need to know. But that we may have the ingredients, the route map by which to live. We need, therefore, to know what the gospel is. As followers of Jesus, we need to be able to simply share a gospel message whether it's to our Muslim friend, to a humanist, to a secularist, to a Jewish friend, to a person who is a Buddhist, whatever. And it needs to be announced with a quiet authority and love. And it needs to be witnessed to by holy living. We live in an age when everything and nothing is believed. Everything and nothing. You listen to the radio, and my beloved Radio 4 just continues to pump out the rubbish that everything and nothing is believable. And some of it's utterly unbelievable. Don't get me wrong, I don't want you all to be fundamentalist believers at the end of this that will give me the right answers to 55 questions. We need to be thinking people who understand the gospel. We say that is good news for all people. We need to have a gospel that can be shared in the bus stop and also in the parliament at Westminster. And in all the other contexts that we go to. Our simple gospel, in fact, will need all the elements of the good news that the angels announced. It needs, and I believe it is, to be a joyous message of salvation for all people, whatever their background. So whether we meet somebody that works in an assets management firm, you know, JP Morgan or whatever, or we meet a colleague at work that serves coffee with us, whoever we meet, it needs to be a message for all people, whatever their background, because it is the truth. It needs to be down to earth, as Jesus was and is, but also true to the seen and unseen spiritual world. And so it will talk about spiritual realms, as the gospel does. The gospel will need to be rooted in history and have relevance to the present and to enable people to build a future, because you and I are calling them to live differently in the future. It therefore will have to deal with explaining evil in the world and why human beings behave as they do. I believe that the message of Jesus is unique in being able to do the latter, to explain evil and how it can be dealt with. So the content of what we say is important, but also the community aspect of the gospel. And this is where many, many Christians are weak. They can tick a multiple choice saying what they believe, but in practice, they are much weaker. They are relying on other things for their strength, and in fact, it's stripping their strength away. This is the last slide. During this year, I hope that we'll be able to explore and learn, and it won't just be through talks on Sunday, but other things we'll do on Discipleship Sunday as well, the content of the gospel. And the content of the gospel has to be found in the Bible. There's no creed on earth that is 100% accurate. I have to say that's actually why Baptists generally don't have any sort of creed other than Jesus is Lord. The Bible expresses all that is needed. And there are wonderful creeds, the Nicene Creed and other creeds that I will willingly and happily use. But all of them have aspects where they don't express fully the gospel. So with the contents of the gospel are expressed in the Bible. But you and I know that often these contents are mashed up, minced up, regurgitated. People pick the bits they like and overemphasize those, and then they underemphasize other bits, don't they? That's what heresy is, just an over or an under emphasis of a truth, all right? So that's the danger, isn't it? We need to know what the contents of the gospel are, but we need to learn from history, because Christians have made mistake after mistake after mistake by putting undue emphasis. Current example on that would, of course, be the prosperity gospel. The Bible does teach about how we will prosper and grow spiritually under God. The Bible does not teach a gospel that you will become wealthy. In fact, it teaches exactly the opposite. Okay? So we need to know and learn from history the mistakes that Christians have made so that we don't make those mistakes again. Content of the gospel, and we'll be thinking about that. I hope also that we'll be able to do something very practical, which is to plan amongst ourselves, both individually and in small groups and as a whole church, ways in which other people can encounter the gospel, where they will come face to face with the truth of what the gospel is. We need to devise ways that people can do that. Some will be inside the church building and some will be outside the church building. At our church weekend away, we are very clear that our first point of contact with most people who are not yet followers of Jesus is outside in the workplace. And that is where we are called to be. Whether in school, in cafe, at college, in care services or whatever. Now, we may use means we've used before. Maybe we'll do art with presentations. Maybe we'll do community sports. I certainly hope so. Maybe it will be Alpha. Maybe it will be films and discussions. But more than anything else, we need to be in relationship with people so that we can show them what it means for us to be part of a gospel people. And when people do come to church, when the time is right for them, that they experience being amongst the gospel people. They experience love. They experience people of all different types brought together through Jesus, not just a church of clones. That they experience in all people in all walks of life. That's what the gospel is, that we're not ashamed of, that God draws together people of all different types. The church is called to be a gospel people. That's wonderful, isn't it? A gospel people. And we come back to this again and again. If you like somebody called Leslie Newbegin and appreciates his writing, he says this: the church is the explanation of the gospel, or he says the hermeneutic of the gospel. When you want to explain something, you go into all the detail. And he says the church community is the hermeneutic of the gospel. People are meant to see the power of change that the gospel brings in people's lives and be convinced of its truth. So we're not just talking about an intellectual exercise, are we, when we talk about understanding the gospel? It's not just saying I believe this, this, and this, but it's also about discussing how the gospel changes the way we live. And if somebody tells you that they follow Jesus and their life is not being changed, they are not becoming more holy, more generous, and so on, then you, like me, would be a bit suspicious. How can we enable others to encounter the gospel? Many, many ways. One way might be to introduce them to other gospel people, other Christians. The gospel is not just an intellectual belief, but it's to do with changed behaviour. You'll see why I put these feet here in a minute, hopefully, because you're going to be doing a bit of work in a minute. The shepherds and the magi, I think, would have been changed by their encounters, don't you? I wonder how it would have changed them, their encounter with Jesus, going to see this amazing thing, having had dreams, having seen angels, having gone to see Jesus, born in a stable. Both visits are recorded by Luke and Matthew and show that the good news really was for all. So the outsiders to the mainstream, that's the shepherds, the workers, and also for the Gentile world, the intellectual reflectors. So remember our drama here? The king, the astronomer, and the camel herder. But both the shepherds and the magi returned to the routine of their lives. I feel this is a bit like you, Lewis. They returned to the routine of their lives. So you all go back. to Brazil. You will go back to work. You will go back to your homes. You go back into the routine of your life. Some of it's exciting, some of it's routine, let's be honest. Okay? Who's managed to wash all the clothes, get them ironed, ready for Tuesday? Don't worry about the ironing, other than the shirt collars. Right. You will go back into the routine, but you will be different. Your feet will walk differently as you go, because you can't stay looking at Jesus all the time. You've got to be out there passing on the good news. And presumably that's what the shepherds did. They told other shepherds the good news. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. That's what we're told. And the Magi, well, they returned to their country. So someone took the message to Persia, to Iran, by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back there. Don't go on that road. You go on that road. We need to know the roads that we're going on. But they went back to their situations. They'd seen the child who was predicted would be of world significance, universal significance. But then they had to step out and step back and put their feet firmly on the ground into the routine of their lives. Much as we would like to avoid it, like the man on the Thompson's holiday that pulls the plug on the back tyre so he can stay on holiday, you can't stay on Christmas holiday all the time, unless you're a very wealthy person. Speak to me afterwards if you are. Believing in Jesus. We cannot say that the gospel is simply to believe that God has made himself known in Jesus, but we can say that. Nor can we simply say that the gospel simply means that I can say Jesus is my saviour, although I can say that. But we need to believe that the gospel is a distinctive way of living, just as Jesus lived the gospel. He incarnated it. And so it's not just what you believe in your head or even in your heart, but it's what you do and where you go. And that is quite simply the message that I bring. The gospel has content, but the gospel also creates a gospel people who follow Jesus in living differently or not. Jesus has brought a gospel people into being, people who can tell us not just what they believe, but show us the difference that following Jesus makes. I am fed up with people telling me what they believe and it making no difference at all to their lives. And the world is fed up with being told what Christians believe and not seeing the difference. The world will be attracted to a gospel message which speaks the truth of Jesus Christ as he fully demonstrated it in his power to change lives and transform communities and even nations and countries through the message. So it's an exciting year. We're going to be thinking simply gospel, not strictly gospel, simply gospel. And we're hoping that people will come with inspired thoughts, that the Holy Spirit will give dreams and visions and scriptures and creative plays and poetry and songs and testimonies that we can share. But more than anything, that people will just have a passion to talk about Jesus, the simple gospel, with all that they meet. We're going to respond by doing something. So Pete's going to have a go at explaining that.